All right, guys, welcome. We are excited to be with you. That might sound weird, but I'm actually excited to share, like he said, a story of hope. And that's really when we walked through these doors 14 years ago, I feel like that's what we needed more than anything is hope, and we found it here. So I hope that you guys find hope. But I'm Kevin. This is Kelly. Here's a picture of our family. We've been married 22 years this May. Oh, boy. Didn't see that coming. Yeah, that was Doug. Appreciate that. So Tanner, Avery, Luke, and so when you look at a family picture, you know, you see they're smiling, everybody looks fairly clean, happy family, but I assure you it's only by the grace of God that that picture even exists, and so you'll hear our story as we unpack it tonight, but keep that in mind as we go forward. But again, like I said, when we walk through these doors, we needed hope, and so we don't know what kind of situation you're in, where your heart is, where your marriage is individually as a couple. But we're praying for you. We've been praying for you, and we're going to get started. So I never did like it when people just read to me, but that's what we're going to do. So I think it'll be better if we stick to the script. So I grew up in a large family, the fourth of five children, in a large, loving, healthy family, in a home. We were not without our problems and stressors, and we were far from perfect, but my parents did a great job of always putting faith and family first. And so growing up, I would call our home a religious home, which led me to believe in a very works-based type relationship with God. So for me personally, this led to an exhausting cycle of practicing my faith by going through the motions and then messing up with all sorts of sin and then repenting and starting over again. And so that cycle continued through high school, college, grad school, and really was marked by unhealthy relationships and really me just living solely for myself. And then in 1999, God started really working on my heart. So I really began to question, what do I believe? Why do I believe it? And I began meeting with some good friends I had grown up with. We'd started a Bible study, and I started noticing these guys were walking a walk and not just talking the talk. And so I was attracted to that. So God was in the process of changing my heart and calling me into a deeper and more personal relationship with him.
So hi, everybody. Thank you for having us here tonight. So
you don't have a picture of Kelly for up there, Doug?
He's too nice. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in the youngest in a family of four, with my parents divorcing when I was three due to my father being unfaithful after 22 years of being married. I always said I grew up in a Christian home, but honestly, I was not discipled well at home. My mom and I would go to church occasionally, but that was about it. And I gave my life to Christ when I was 12, but I didn't grasp what that actually meant until I was in college. And college was a great time of growing in my faith and living out what being a believer looked like. I was surrounded by faithful friends, and it became clear to me how much I loved learning about the Christian faith and all that Christ had done for me. I attended a Baptist church in Lubbock and was plugged into their student ministry. It was an incredible time of growth in my life. After college, I came back here to Dallas, to the Dallas area, and started an internship and quickly got connected into a women's Bible study. This was a very sweet time of life, learning about who I was, my family dynamics, and living out my beliefs in a very worldly city.
So we met in 1999 at work, and as I got to know her, I knew there was something different about Kelly, and I was intrigued. On our very first date, we prayed together, which I had never done before, and so I liked it. We got engaged 8 months later, then got married in 2001. We were both believers when we got married, but I had no idea what it meant to love her, lead her, serve her well. And so early in our marriage, it was a fairly typical cycle of newlyweds. We had a lot of fun together. Both of us were working full-time, bought our first home. We had a lot of great friends we'd hang out with. We helped start a new church, serve there regularly, and then we began having children. So I would have said that at the time, we got along really well. We didn't fight very much, and I thought we had a pretty healthy relationship.
So as Kevin mentioned, we met at work, and my first perception was that he was a really nice guy. He was a lot of fun. He made me laugh, but his beliefs weren't aligned with mine. We worked together about 6 months before we had our first date. I didn't call it a date at the time, but I do today. After 22 years of marriage. That night out, we talked about life, our interests, and our families, and it was a great night. And over time, I realized that he was a believer, and he was learning to pursue Christ, and he was seeking what that relationship looked like with some, like he said, with some good guy friends that he was in a Bible study with. We started hanging out more. We had a ton of fun together, and it quickly went from liking this guy to loving him, something I had never experienced prior in a dating relationship. The cliche for me was that it truly did feel different. And while we dated and through our engagement, even early on in marriage, we didn't have any fights or disagreements per se, but we also never talked about anything of true importance, like our struggles, our fears, or our expectations. I didn't know the first thing about what he had issues or struggles with, and I was very naive. We set no boundaries within our marriage, and I was extremely passive when it came to how I felt about things. Over time, things did get stale, but I just thought it was because we were really busy. We had young kids, we both worked full-time jobs, and that was just the way life was at the time. Never once did I think that we should talk about any of this. We just went through our motions, isolated, and did our own thing. And Kevin wasn't a horrible husband by any means. We had lost our second child through a stillbirth, and it actually brought us very close together. But as time marched ahead, we got stuck in a rut and had a really hard time of connecting.
Yeah, so about 7 years into our marriage, as Kelly mentioned, we got stuck into a daily grind, and it looked like this. Wake up in the morning, get the kids ready, eat breakfast. We'd both go to work. We'd drop them off at daycare. We'd work a full day, pick them up from daycare, get home. One of us would get dinner ready, either get the kids ready, put them to bed, and then literally go to bed exhausted, disconnected, only to wake up and do that all over again. We had our fun times and, you know, a good amount of memories, but that would really continue till about the end of 2007. So I probably would have said at that time that my relationship with the Lord was okay, but in hindsight, I was incredibly distant from him, so much so that I didn't see the storm that was up ahead. So around that same time, I had begun a relationship with a gal at work, and the two of us started working out together in the mornings. This quickly developed into a deeper emotional connection, and I found myself becoming more and more excited about both pursuing and being pursued by another woman. As the connection grew deeper, I remember naively thinking that nothing would ever happen because I was married and so was she. But after a few months, it did become physical. The physical affair lasted a few more months and ended shortly before I left work to return to school in May of 2008. I remember thinking that I would leave that secret behind and do my best to just move on. So I wrestled with it for several months of what to do with this sin that I had committed and was hiding from Kelly. It made me physically and emotionally sick, yet I continued to hide it from her. I wanted to tell her, but I was afraid I would lose her and our children. It all came crashing down one evening with a phone call. Kelly received a call that night from the husband of the gal with whom I had the affair. He had just found out about the affair and called Kelly to tell her everything that he knew. So I wasn't home at the time, but Kelly quickly called me and told me about the news she had just heard. And so I then went home scared to death of the uncertainty that awaited me.
So you can imagine, right, just hearing that story play out. Things got much worse before they even got a little bit better. And although I didn't mention divorce, I was not present emotionally or spiritually and even physically in our marriage. I dealt with trying to do it all on my own, and I isolated big time. I wasn't home much, I didn't care to be home much, I drank too much to numb anything that I was feeling, and I spent time with other people who were not spurring me on in a healthy way. I was angry and sad, yet I wanted desperately to forgive. I just didn't know what that looked like. I struggled with worldly emotions, yet wanted to be a wife and a good mother. I could not shake the fact that this had happened to me, to us, and I was deeply hurt and very bitter. We had started re-engaged at another church, and I wasn't ready. Honestly, I wasn't ready at the time that we had started that, but it was also not very authentic. No one knew our story, and we never felt compelled to discuss it. The following March, after disclosure in July, we came here to re-engage at Watermark, and it was at that point where I felt that this was where the Lord wanted us. People were standing up sharing their stories of redemption and reconciliation, and I was overwhelmed with what I was hearing. I wanted that more than anything. And as we dug in, things were starting to improve. We had a lot to continue to work through. And although things weren't always great, re-engage allowed us to be ourselves and to share in a safe environment. Also, it was through this process that Kevin began digging into God's word daily. I saw him change by what the Holy Spirit was doing in his life. He started leading us well, leading the kids well, and became more involved at home. This all allowed me to let down my guard and truly learn to trust him again. My thought process began changing. It didn't happen overnight. Y'all, this was not something that just happened in a few days or a few weeks. Things were still really hard, and I was far from perfect. But as things began changing on his end, things on my end started changing as well. Again, it took me a really long time to work through the sin and emotions on my end. I had to change how my relationships looked, and I needed to dig deeper and to get back into God's word more and want to be invested in our marriage again. I learned what drawing the circle truly meant. I had to take ownership in our mess and figure out all over again how the Lord wanted me to be in our marriage and what my role as a wife was, which I'd never actually really learned. Through the heartache of all that had happened with us, Kevin's dad passed away and my mom passed away within 15 months of each other during this time frame. This too was a huge part of still dealing with some pain. And to add this on top of everything else that we were doing, it was really a hard and difficult season. I had to trust, though, the Lord's ultimate plan. And Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged."
Amen. So over the course of time, as we continued to work on our marriage, God completely changed my heart and changed our marriage. It was a long and difficult road, but I remember our pastor at the time sharing a verse with us that quickly became our anthem, Romans 8:28. So he reminded me that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. I've had to work through a lot of shame and guilt associated with my unfaithfulness. Even now, if I let myself dwell on the past, those feelings will resurface, and then negative thinking. But most importantly now in my life, I've made Christ the most important thing. I love the lyrics to a popular Christian song that says, "I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us." So I've become a more fully devoted follower of Christ, and that has trickled down and affected every other part of my life. In particular, my marriage has changed. I realize now what it means to be a godly husband, how to lead Kelly and our kids well. I realize now how fortunate I am to have a godly wife who loves me and who is and was committed to our wedding vows. No longer are we living in isolation. I have a group of guys around me asking me tough questions and checking in on me. I've learned how to lead our kids better. Kelly and I spend time intentionally connecting with each other. We enjoy each other. We do date nights, actively pursuing each other. Our marriage is not perfect, far from it, but it's better than it's ever been spiritually, emotionally, and even physically.
So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a lot of this is a really one of those really popular verses, but it's one that resonates in just the sense of what you might be going through. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So our marriage now is in a place that I really honestly never thought possible. I would without a doubt marry Kevin all over again, even knowing what I know now. And please hear me say that you do not need to have an affair to experience God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness in your life. I wouldn't wish that pain or circumstance on anyone, but there is absolutely no doubt that this has changed our trajectory forever. Our kids' lives will forever be changed as well because of what the Lord is doing in each of our lives and our marriage collectively. Whatever painful circumstances you may be in, I pray that you will let the Lord grab a hold of your hearts. Let him change you from within. Gary Thomas writes in his book, Sacred Influence, "A good marriage doesn't happen by accident, and a good marriage isn't maintained by accident. Both are the work of the Holy Spirit and the foundation of Jesus and his unchangeable truth in the life of two sinners who are married."
So everybody loves a story, right? You heard it said tonight, if you're going to hear their story. And so from when we were young, we loved to hear stories, especially ones that were based on a true story. We love movies that are based on a true story, especially if they have a happy ending too. So you often hear people saying, "Have you heard their story?" And so for so long, the longest time, I didn't want my story to be one of infidelity and brokenness. And it took me a while, but I realized through a lot of time that that wasn't the story. Our story is one of redemption and healing, and it tells what God can do in your life and in your marriage if you just let him. That's the story. So we don't know your story. We don't know what you're going through right now, what you bring in here. But we know that if you'll choose to let God into your life and into your marriage, he can completely redeem it and take it to a place you never thought possible. It sounds cliche, but it's true. God is still very much in the business of changing lives and changing marriages. And that can be your story.
So I think what I would want you to walk away with tonight is to truly believe that Christ knows what you're going through. He understands your pain, he knows your heart, and he won't let you go. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." And so I think that a lot of times we walk in here and we're weary. You could have walked into the doors today because of bad news that you got today, and this, you just don't know what way is up. And so it's easy for us to sit up here 14 years later and tell you our story, but I promise you that we are praying for you, and we know that it's not easy to be here. I love music and songs. They have a way of ministering to me in difficult circumstances, and over these 14 years, there's been a lot of music that has just penetrated just my mind and my heart and just all that the Lord has done. And there's a Christian song out today called No Impossible With You that says this, and maybe you can relate to these initial words. "Right now, I'm staring down a giant. Right now, I can't see past my pain. Right now, my songs have turned to silence, and you've never seemed so far away. But I still believe. There's no heart you can't rescue, no war you can't win, no story so over it can't start again. No pain you won't use, no wall you won't break through. It might be too much for me and for you, but there is no impossible with you." I know many of you feel like he has given up on you and your marriage or your spouse, but I promise you that he hasn't. The people in this room and in your small groups are here for you. There is no mistake why you're here tonight. Dig in, pray, be authentic, and tell your story. And I promise you that you will not be disappointed.
So we thought we'd end with this. This is a picture of our three kiddos. When the storm hit our marriage back in, 2008, we had a choice to make. We had to choose, one, did we want to stay in this thing? And we did. We both really did. And then we had to put forth the work and the effort to really allow God to do what he already wanted to do, was redeem it. And so we show you this picture because... Luke is our youngest. He's 10. And he would not be here if we had not stayed together. If we had listened to what the world told us, what people told us is, hey, it's okay to get a divorce. It's okay to leave him. He wouldn't even be in the picture. He wouldn't be alive. Our other two kids, the older ones, would be growing up in a broken home, and we don't know what that would be like for them. And so that gets me every time this many years later when I think about that. So first of all, you guys, you have to make the choice that you want to stay in this thing, and then you have to let God do what he wants to do. And it's gonna be ugly at times. It's going to require work and effort. But I promise you that if you make the decision to stay and be willing to allow God to work in your marriage, he can redeem it and restore it. So that's our prayer for you guys. Thank you for listening.